Just what is a trending topic?
A trending topic is a word or phrase that is tagged at a greater rate than other tags.
This is a trending topic.
Hashtag tunes.
Stop growing up and grow down with Jack and Brian as they rejoin the Trending Topics Network.
Hashtag tweet the table.
Get ready to have your face slammed through a table of wrestling knowledge as Captain Austin and T-Mac bring you the Spanish Announce Table.
Hashtag Weekend Box Office.
Join Mr. Old School and his panel of critics as they are your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Hashtag Mobile Technology.
Take a bite out of the mobile space on trending mobile technology as Piper the DJ breaks down iOS, Microsoft, BlackBerry, and many things in between. This is the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Better check in every day.
Because you never know what's going to be trending next.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Where that man is fucking an animal.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 92 for October 2nd, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and Tunes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. Almost screwed that one up. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies.net. Hashtag OSATM. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. Start off with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavy Set, 73 episodes in a row.
Allons-y, and that should mean by the end of the year, we should hit episode 100.
Yes, that's very true. We're actually working on getting a live episode recorded in front of, like, not a studio audience, but actual people. So, Heavy, I don't know if you got your passport, but I should drive up here, man.
If only it were that simple.
Kebo Trek is also here.
Howdy.
We've got Will. Or not.
Thanks for having me.
There he is. And unfortunately, Carp.
You can go fuck yourself.
Let's get into the, news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Why The Equalizer 2 will almost certainly happen now. Clerks 3 is finally happening, and here's why. The utterly absurd way Christopher Walken amuses himself on movie sets. Kristen Wiig is game for Ghostbusters 3, and this week we're actually going to start with a new story. Usually we start on Heavy Set, but little craziness is happening north of the border, and I figure I'd let our American fans know what's going on, and it's regarding the CRTC and Netflix. Now, for those who aren't familiar, the CRTC is the equivalent to the Americans FCC. They regulate television, movies, music, all that kind of good stuff. So the CRTC is actually doing a kind of a panel or just a think tank, inviting a bunch of media companies and, you know, movie companies, TV networks, et cetera, to come and give their thoughts on how it should be regulated in a new space. Now, CRTC normally has kind of shied away from the internet stuff. They highly regulate TV and movies and music. There's actually laws that say that you have to have a certain amount of Canadian content on networks and stuff like that. So they're kind of dabbling into the internet space, and Netflix was invited last week to go and speak on their behalf, because a lot of companies are actually bashing Netflix because companies don't like the fact that Netflix doesn't have to abide by a lot of the regulations that the Canadian companies have to abide by. For instance, having a required minimum amount of Canadian content or having to pay taxes. Netflix does not actually have any Canadian employees. So I'm going to cut into about 21 minutes in, and essentially what happens is Tom from the CRTC is asking the, who is she? global policy coordinator of Netflix, he asks her for subscriber data. And it's against their policy to actually provide it outside of their American number. So a little bit of back and forth ensues. And actually, the guys from the CRTC get like pissed off enough that they have to leave for a break. So we're going to cut it 21 minutes in, and the awkwardness will ensue.
Sometimes people look at tipping points and put sort of dollars and cents next to that. And in order to help one do that, I think you've got to figure out how much of the consumption market one entity or X number of entities may be taking out of that market. And in order to arrive at a reasonable figure, you've got to have some idea as to what the subscriber levels are. Well, I understand your position. I'm going to ask it anyways. Where are you in your subscription in Canada?
So we don't publicly disclose subscriber data outside of the U.S. However, we've reached out to counsel at the CRTC to discuss how we can best make that available to you on a confidential basis.
So you'd be willing to provide that through an undertaking?
So we're having a conversation with your counsel to assure that information that for us is actually quite commercially sensitive, that we can guarantee that it will be treated confidentially. And I think that those discussions have actually been very productive, and I have every hope that they will continue to do so.
But are you willing to undertake to provide that information?
I'm willing to undertake to have conversations with CRTC counsel.
My question is, are you undertaking to provide that information?
To the extent that the CRTC
CRTC protects confidential information every day. We have lots of confidential information, like many government departments. You coming here and suggesting that we don't treat information confidentially is actually a bit offensive.
I'm not suggesting that you don't treat information confidentially. We're working with CRTC counsel. We've proactively reached out to them to help us understand the process. We think that we're being very cooperative in doing that. I'm not suggesting that we're not going to provide you with the document, but it's important for us, given the sensitivity of this information, to understand all the implications of what submitting information to any entity would be, given the sensitivity of it. But as I said, we're having productive conversations with CRTC counsel. Those will continue after this hearing.
Do you undertake to provide that information by the end of the day, Monday? And as we've published in the recent amendments to the public notice, you are entitled to ask for confidential treatment of that information.
Mr. Chairman, I promise you we will continue to speak with CRTC counsel. We want to be helpful. We would like to provide information to you that is responsive on a confidential basis. We will continue to have conversations.
Why can't you just say you will provide it and be subject to the regular confidentiality rules?
We will be happy to submit to the confidentiality rules to the extent that that confidentiality can be guaranteed to us.
Again, you're suggesting that we aren't protecting confidential information.
We are just ensuring, because of the sensitivity of the information, that confidentiality can be guaranteed. We would do that with any agency, any government entity with which...
But right now you're refusing to answer my simple question.
I don't believe that I'm refusing to answer your question.
Yeah,
I'm
you
suggesting
are.
That we would like to ensure that sensitive information that we submit is treated confidentially.
I can assure you all sensitive information that's filed with the Commission is treated with sensitivity because it's confidential. We have obligations under the Act.
Yes.
And we can even exclude it from access to information requests. There's a whole regime around this. It's not new.
No, and I appreciate your guarantee that our information would be treated confidentially. And if that
so with that, will you undertake to provide that information by the end of the day, Monday?
With the CRTC's guarantee that any information that we submit that is confidential will be treated so, we will definitely continue to have conversations and ensure that we can provide that data to you.
We're going to take a break.
So this goes on for like 5 to 10 minutes even after this, where she keeps, they say, okay, can you provide us with the information? Provided that you can guarantee blah, blah, blah. All she's got to say is yes at that. So at that point, the second part of it, and if you guys want, I'll actually put it in the show notes if you guys want to check it out. There's two-parter. It's about an hour. And it really gets interesting around the 25-minute mark. So at the end of the day, the guy's like, you know what? I'm ordering you to do it. And I don't care what provided bullshit, we're keeping it confidential and I'm ordering you to do it. So she's like, okay, I understand you're ordering me to do it. A couple days later, they actually come back and say, They refuse to give them the information. They say by law, they don't have to, so they're not going to. And now the CRTC is actually excluding them from further talk. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think they legally can ban Netflix, or they would even try to do it, because it would piss off so many subscribers. Estimated around 3 million current subscribers in Canada. I want to get your take on it. We're going to start with Kebo Trek. Do you think Netflix is wrong here? Do you think the CRTC is overstepping its bounds?
Oh, good question.
Okay, let me rephrase it. As a consumer, okay, do you care about the fact that Netflix doesn't guarantee certain Canadian content or that? Are you more free market, or do you believe that they should play by the same rules as everybody else?
While I understand what the CRTC is going for, I do prefer free market, because I'll be honest, as a Canadian, I watch very, very little Canadian content, and I don't think I should be forced to watch it, or I guess I'm still not forced to watch it, but forced to, like, I should be able to decide what I want to watch on my own. I watch, right now, I watch 1 hour of Canadian content a week, and
no Republic of Doyle, man?
No, none.
No Corner Gas?
None of that, like, so I don't think I should be forced to have to watch more. It's just like, I guess it's the same thing with, like, you know, music providers, where I think it's, what, 30% they have to...
There's specific rules. Yeah, they have to provide, I believe, 30% of Canadian content. I know even, like, the French-speaking stations in Quebec actually have to provide, I think, a certain amount of French content. So, they're trying to protect the local industry. So they're trying to, because at the end of the day, the Americans have the bigger budgets, right?
Right.
So if they didn't protect it, would we see any content right now? So that's kind of the tricky part. Go ahead.
But the thing is, even if you see it, are you liable to do anything about it? Like I said, the content's there. I just choose not to watch it. So whether it's there or not, I'm not going to watch
it. Do you have any kind of like patriotism? Will you watch a show because it's Canadian, or support it because it's Canadian?
No.
As a Canadian?
No. I watch what I find entertaining, and unfortunately, most of that is the U.S. because, like you said, they have a much higher budget.
Going to throw it to Heavy, the only American on the panel. What do you think about? Do you think our governments are kind of overstepping its bounds? Do you prefer free market in terms of FCC? Do you think they should regulate more? Let's get your thoughts.
What I want you to do is please rise, put your hands over your heart, and in a loud, clear voice, say, "We, the people." I don't have much of an opinion. Like, to me, it's almost like, to be honest, like everything there was kind of foreign to me. No pun intended. But I think when it comes like to where content is coming from, I don't think that should matter. I kind of agree with, like, you know, just if it's entertaining, it's entertaining. One of my favorite TV shows right now, and that's one of my top probably favorite TV shows that I've got into the past couple of years, isn't even American. It's British, and it's head and shoulders above many other shows. I've gotten at least two or three other people into it, and they kind of feel the same way. And it shouldn't matter where content comes from, where it should be available. If Canadian products want to get noticed, TV shows or not, step the game up. The only thing that I really remember watching was Canadian was that one time I used to get Much Music on DirecTV. Eventually they split, like they actually created a U.S. version called Much MMUSA, and then it ended up becoming a station called Fuse. But when Much Music, when they actually showed what was from Canada, I loved it, and I preferred that over MTV. So like I said, it just flat out shouldn't matter.
So you're saying government shouldn't overstep its bounds, let the free market fix itself kind of thing. That's your opinion.
That is correct.
Carp, Will, let's get your thought. Do you agree with CRTC or Netflix? Quickly, Carp, go.
Netflix is going to win in the end, I'm pretty sure. It is a pain in the ass that they're doing this for no reason whatsoever. Same thing. I mean, if we created more Canadian content, then you know, we should be showing it, but we don't. The fact is, we're at 10% of the population of the U.S., and we don't have the money or purpose to. Now, if you're considering things that are filmed in Canada, like, let's say, Supernatural or X-Men Days of Future Past, and were to consider those part of Canadian content, that would be one thing, but they're not. So, you know what? The CRTC is wrong in the end.
Will, what do you think, man?
I simply think that it's fun to see a world where the laws have not been created yet, because we're talking about digital content and we see how it's the digital age. And I think that right now the CRTC does not have a right. They might have to. I think that this will definitely make them have to change their laws in order that next time they actually can bring this further. But I don't think I think they're wasting their time right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're overstepping their bounds. I think the internet is taking over in regards to music, movies, television. That's the way it's going. It's not going to be regulated, or it shouldn't be. And I think if they try to, the people who are in that space right now are aware enough and will freak the fuck out at the government. And I know the current conservative government, the party that is the leader in Canada right now, says they don't want to touch it. So I think the CRTC is just climbing up the wrong tree. And people, I'll give you the honest to God truth is people don't give a shit where the content comes from as long as it's content that they like. They don't care if it's Canadian. There's no patriotism here, I don't believe anyways, in terms of movies and music and stuff. They just like whatever they like. And if it's Canadian, well, that's great. If not, well, tough shit. So I think Netflix is right to kind of flex their muscle. They have a big enough subscriber base where people will freak out if they try to block it. And there are ways to get around it. I really recommend you guys, I know it's, you know, we have a largely American audience, but they do talk about stuff like VPNs. And VPNs is a thing that really Americans don't have to worry about because they have access to everything. But we don't have access to Hulu, Amazon Prime, WWE Network even. We have to go around. And they actually asked Netflix about it. And I think they're full of shit. They say they block it by IP and stuff. But my friends got a Canadian account and I connect from the States at the same time and they don't block anything. So in Netflix's, you know, financial opinion, they don't give a shit where you're connecting or how you're connecting as long as you're paying money. So they're just trying to save face for the content providers. But yeah, just give you guys a quick insight. I don't want to go too long on this, but the war is north of the border. So that being said, let's throw this to Heavy. We have topics to discuss, Equalizer 2, Clerks 3, Christopher Walken, and Kristen Wiig. What would you like to discuss?
The Kristen Wiig topic is very tempting, but I'm going to have to go with Clerks 3.
Okay, so the article discusses the fact that Clerks 3 is being funded because of Kevin Smith coming out with Tusk. Tusk resulted in a very low box office. It was released in about 600 theaters, made around $800,000. So per theater is very low. But because of doing the actual movie and getting it released and using all the social media stuff, Clerks is now going to be funded by, I believe, the same company. So, you know, a lot of people were looking for Clerks 3, although, as Kevin Smith said himself, he wanted to kind of go down a different route, do something different. Tusk and Red State are definitely different. But, you know, he says he will be working on Clerks 3. Now, finally, we got the funding. Let's get your thoughts. I'm sure you're happy about this.
I mean, I'm extremely happy. I think one of my top comedies of all times is Clerks 2, of all things. And I think it's because when I went to go see that, I went to go with a couple friends. We watched the whole thing. And I know afterwards we spent the rest of that day, weeks, months, just quoting what we could remember. It was the same way I know we were with Talladega Nights. But to me, like, that movie holds up so well because they go from bit to bit to bit. And I know I've said that before, but that's what I'm hoping happens to 3. Because 1 was its own movie and so was 2. And they found a way to take the same formula, totally update it, make it feel new. And I mean, ever since the second one came out, and they kind of leave it open to like, hey, now we own the Quick Stop and now this is going on and we got some new characters. I'm so happy to see this actually going forward more than just like, well, you know, Miramax saying that they'll like sign off on certain things, but they won't put it out and Weinstein won't fund it. So this is great news for me.
The one thing though, luckily, he does pretty low budgets, and Tusk was made for around $3 million. And after selling the foreign rights, because he usually will, they'll keep the domestic box office, but then they'll sell the foreign rights. So they've made, I believe, about $1 million and change in the domestic box office. With that and the foreign rights, they've actually made their money back. So it's not like he's losing money. I mean, and Clerks is, the third Clerks is probably going to cost her only around $5, $6 million. So that's got a guaranteed audience. So that's going to make around 20 at least. So it's guaranteed money. It's not a lot of money, but it's, you know, they're not going in risking financial, you know, they're not going to go belly up because of it. So I think it's a no-brainer to have done the third one. I'm very surprised the Weinsteins didn't fund it. But just these old movie companies with their kind of old school feel, Kevin Smith, I like the fact that he's touring some movies. He's doing a lot of stuff independently. He has that built-in audience already. He doesn't need to advertise for $5-10 million on TV and waste money in a big advertising budget when that's not going to draw in new fans. He's got his kind of hardcore fans. All right, let's throw the last news story. We'll give it to Will. What would you like to discuss?
I'd like to talk about Christopher Walken.
So apparently, this article is really interesting. They're talking about how Christopher Walken acts kind of weird on movie sets and kind of makes his own humor. I remember Bradley Cooper was talking about a thing where he was just sitting down talking to Walken, and Walken would just say, like, pineapple, you know, or just like random words and stuff. In the article, they talk about how he pretends like it's his birthday. He kind of fucks around with his colleagues, his actors, to get a laugh for himself. And they say it's because the fact that everybody kind of idolizes him, they all come up to him, and it's always like the same goo goo gaga over Christopher Walken when they work with him. So instead of him just saying, "Oh, thanks," he kind of gets his jollies off messing around with some of the people on the set. He's playing he's working the people on the set, which I think is kind of cool. And I think Pacino might do this stuff too. What do you think about this? I mean, I think it's kind of adds to his allure.
It does, but it's still so weird because
it is.
What's weird is that they're saying that the reason why is because he's had enough of people since they all idolize him. But I don't think we do. We love him, but not because he's a great actor. Do you agree with me, old school, that his allure is not that he acts really, really well? Because you said
it's got a unique walk-in.
Because like you said, like I idolize, let's say, Marlon Brando, Pacino, De Niro, Liam Neeson. Those are legitimately very good actors. But people like Cage, Jeff Goldblum, who they mentioned, and Christopher Walken, are just people that we like having in the entertainment business because they make it. What? Excuse me?
De Niro, some of the action stars too.
Van Damme's
not winning the Golden Globe. You know,
Arnold, like, people with quirks that we realize like make it a bit less serious and very fun. But I don't think we idolize him. So I find that part really, really bizarre. I do think it fits with him. These quirky, there's this great picture. If you guys Google it, it was his paparazzi trying to take a picture of Pacino and Walken, and they just start totally goofing around, like making these weird poses. It's like, yeah, take a picture of this goofball here. And what I find weird is that he sounds bizarre, but yet you watch him in certain films like what we loved last year. What was it called? Stand Up Guys.
Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. Also, if you guys didn't watch Seven Psychopaths, he seems very collected.
It's a very insider movie, though.
No, but what I'm trying to say is that...
It's fourth wall
break. Yeah, definitely. But what I'm trying to say, though, is that he still composed himself. Like, he can take direction, he can act... Well, I said he can act, but I'm just saying that he can still look calm. So we know that he's clearly has a functioning brain, and he knows what's right, he knows what's wrong. So it's really weird when I read these things that he's just also this weird guy, when we know that he can also be calm and collected. So yeah, definitely, it just adds to the whole mystery of it all. What I'm glad, though, is that he has fun, at least as long as he has fun where he is, and that's able to come off on the screen, that adds to my experience of watching it.
Let's get into the movie review of the week. Who has seen The Equalizer?
Myself and you.
Oh yeah, it's true, I did.
Yeah,
right.
We kind of went Friday.
Let's throw it to Carp first.
Really enjoyed the film. A good way to put it is Denzel out Neeson's Neeson.
He did. He fucking brought it.
Yeah, he out-taken, took-in-taken.
He took Taken.
Yeah, great kind of crime thriller, revenge style flick at points. Denzel was fucking spectacular in this. The bad guy, Martin Cossacks, I believe, played the bad guy. He did a really good job as like a Russian super hitman, I guess, as to say. Fighting was really well done. Barely any shaky cam to complain about. Like the scene where you see it in the trailer, he says 16 seconds and he starts timing it. Like that felt like it was actually 16 to 19 seconds, which is really cool. The small amount of Chloe Grace was in it. She did a good job. I highly recommend seeing this film. For me, it is a solid 8.5 out of 10.
I agree on a lot of points. I think it was well paced. You know, there are some slow points. It builds up to the action scenes, but it's not boring. It gives justification for his actions. The acting was good. The action was phenomenal. And it gets very violent and very graphic. I was very surprised at the gravity of like the killing it was just extremely graphic. One, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's this one thing where he kind of like hangs a guy and like, but his throat's covered in blood. He's just sitting there like poker faced watching the guy bleed to death. You know, it's really fucked up.
Does it take time to build up to that?
It does.
Okay. Cause like Taken, what I liked is that it within about, I'd say 20 minutes, Liam Neeson's doing his Liam Neeson stuff. So I found that fun.
If you like Taken,
love Taken,
you will love this.
So this delivers, there's like a high kill count.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. For some reason, a lot of it's done at the Home Depot, but so I don't know why the budget was so high, but maybe it's for the effects or Denzel.
Do they explain why he has a set of skills?
A particular set of skills.
That was another thing I forgot to mention. A lot of his like the way he killed the bad guys were very original as well.
Yeah, no, it is. So if you're into that kind of Taken action movie, this definitely brings it.
Is it better?
But it's very close. Okay. It's very close.
It's better than Taken 2, but it's very close to Taken.
Near the end, it's kind of like cheesy, but Taken was also at the end was kind of cheesy. Anyways, I'm ranting on here. But I agree with Karp on all the points and actually the score as well. If you like Taken, go see this movie, 8 on 10. All right, let's get into the box office for this week, and Will be doing the box office. Break it down. All right, Will, break down the numbers for us for this week.
All right. Okay, so number one, as we said, The Equalizer with just a little over $34 million. Good start. It's already made back half its budget, over half its budget, so it seems it's going strong. And as we saw in the news, there'll be an Equalizer 2 probably. Then last week, number one was The Maze Runner. This time it's number two with a bit over $17 million. Also over $17 million, number three with The Box Trolls. Then this is where I leave you, $6 million. Number five is Dolphin Tale 2, $4 million. Number six, No Good Deed, $4 million, which is about $4 million. Number seven, Liam Neeson Classic, A Walk Amongst the Tombstones, $4 million. Eight, Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, this thing was kept being number one, but it's still making money. It made a bit less than $4 million, bring it to $319 million. This is just in the States. Then we've got number nine, Let's Be Cops, $1.5 million. And number 10 is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, with $1.4 million, bring it to $187 million.
Thank you, Will. Upcoming movies for this week, we've got a couple. First one, Ben Affleck's Gone Girl. Play the trailer, get your thoughts.
Nick Dunn, you're probably the most hated man in America right now. Did you kill your wife, Nick?
Everyone told us and told us marriage is hard work. Not for me and Nick.
As you all know, my wife, Amy Elliott Dunn, disappeared 3 days ago. I had nothing to do with the disappearance of my wife. I have nothing to hide.
Sammy got friends we can talk to?
No, not really.
You don't know if she has friends, you don't know what she does all day, and you don't know your wife's blood type.
Just being a good guy, so everybody can see him being a good guy.
Well, you really don't like him, do you?
All I'm trying to do is be nice to the people who are volunteering to help find Amy.
I will practice believing my husband loves me, but I could be wrong.
You ever seen that guy in the glasses before?
Amy is the kind of girl who attracts admirers.
Whoever took her is bound to bring her back.
I'm hoping you can tell me what this means.
You want to solve Amy's treasure, huh?
You seen this girl around here?
Yeah, I remember her.
I know you. I saw you at the volunteer center.
I wanted to help.
What she want?
She wanted a gun.
We are all scared, but we are all here now.
I feel like something to be jettisoned if necessary. I feel like I could disappear.
The hallmark of a sociopath is a lack of empathy.
Amy lost a lot of blood in there. Then somebody mopped it up.
Why would they mop up the blood if they're trying to stage a crime scene?
Whatever they found, I think it's safe to assume that it's very bad.
I finally realized I am frightened of my own husband.
I would draw you as if you're doing a deposition. What to say, what not to say.
A trained monkey?
A trained monkey who doesn't get lethal injections.
She's going to eat you alive.
You assaulted her?
It's not good enough for you?
I hit her?
It's not even close.
Absolutely not. I never touched her.
We now believe Nick is involved in the disappearance of our daughter.
Without a body, without a murder weapon, their only hope is a confession.
I don't know anything yet.
You need to tell me.
How was your marriage, Nick?
Are you asking me if I killed my wife?
Man of my dreams.
This man of mine may kill me.
What about my son,
Nick?
This man may kill me. In her own words, this man may truly kill me.
You ever hear the expression, the simplest answer is often the correct one?
Actually, I've never found that to be true.
Gone Girl starring Ben Affleck. This looks pretty interesting, and Ben Affleck is on a couple of good roles with The Town and also Argo, winning for Best Picture. So Ben Affleck's hot right now. This one, for if you're into like whodunits, murder mysteries, based on a very popular book as well. So let's start with Heavyset, Yerne.
If you go back a couple months, I talked about this. I finished this. This book is very long, very awesome. I am so, I'm like marking out for this movie. And this is a particular movie that I didn't watch any of the trailers for it when I was listening to the book. And when I finished it, that's one of the first things I did, popped on YouTube. And this was, I think, one of the first ones I watched. And I think it sets the stage really well for this movie. I'm looking forward to giving my review next week for our next regular episode, where I'm going to not only give you a review of the movie, but how it converts from the book. But I'm going to tell you right now, either check out the book or at least go see this movie, because it just looks awesome, and I don't think anybody's going to see exactly what's coming. Obviously, no spoilers.
Definitely see the book. Will, yeah or nay?
Oh, totally. When you were talking about Ben Affleck, if any guys watch Zoolander, I was thinking about Mugatu going like Ben Affleck. So hot right now, Ben Affleck. Because he is.
I thought he was going to say like, I'm Batman.
No. Because like he's so hot right now. And my girlfriend read it, and the husband's supposed to be this like douchebag guy who maybe, whatever, we don't know.
Spoiler.
No, I don't know. She just, the whole point is my girlfriend does not like seeing Ben Affleck. He makes her uneasy. So she read the book, and I was like, do you think he's a good cast? And she's like, in this case, he's a perfect cast. So I found that fun. I'm definitely gonna watch this movie, and I'm glad I have not been spoiled so far.
Kev Botrex, get your 2 cents.
Yeah, throw me as a yay. I'm definitely curious to see where they go with it.
Carp, your name?
Maybe. Probably Tuesday matinee for cheap.
All right, and I'm going to say yay. All right, we've got one more. It's more up Carp's alley. This one's called Annabelle.
Scream.
Stay here. Go check it out.
John? Is everything all right?
Oh, my God. You're covered in blood.
Go back inside. It's not mine. It's not. Go back inside. Call an ambulance right now. Go!
I like your dog.
You survived. You don't come out the other side of something like this weaker. What is there left to be scared of?
This is the last of them.
How did that get in there? I swear, I threw it out.
Things must have got mixed up. There, she fits right in. Come to mommy. Come to mommy. That I can't explain.
We should talk to someone.
I don't think what you're experiencing is a ghost.
Sometimes demons can attach themselves to objects.
What do I do? Protect your family.
Annabelle, she terrified you in The Conjuring, but this is where it all began for Annabelle. Director John Leonetti. Start with our horror guru, Carp. This is year nay.
I haven't seen The Conjuring, but I've seen most of James Wan, the producer, James Wan's other works. And he's a solid film producer, so I might check this out, but I'll most likely wait till it's on Netflix.
I know Kevin's answer, so we'll go to Heavyset. And off with Will.
I actually watched The Conjuring recently, and I thought it wasn't. I didn't think it was good. I didn't think it was good at all. So this looks worse. It's going to be a nay for me too.
Yeah, if you're not a fan of The Conjuring, for sure, yeah, you wouldn't be checking this out. It's also going to be a nay for me, not a huge horror movie fan. But I will be checking out Tusk this week.
You forgot about Left Behind.
Oh well, unfortunately, that also got left behind. Let's get into.
2014 Nick Cage Rapture movie. Nick Cage.
What?
Nick Cage is in a movie about the Rapture. Come on.
Wait, what?
Really?
Yes.
Which film?
What the fuck? Hold on. We're okay. I'm sorry. I'm the Nick Cage fan. We got to check this out.
The remake of the Kirk Cameron one.
We're going to steal the Statue of Liberty.
Hey, dude, that's pretty good.
Now you're going to have to say, we're going to steal the Rapture from Jesus.
We're going to steal the Rapture from Jesus.
That's awesome.
Hi, Mom.
Chloe, welcome home.
So is everything set for Dad?
Okay, is she getting taken seriously?
At surprise party?
He got called into work.
I don't know who you are.
Can I buy you a coffee?
I don't know.
I'm waiting for someone. My dad.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hey.
Welcome aboard PanCon flight 257 to London. Flight time today will be 6 hours.
Okay, where's your accent?
In 30 minutes.
I love you.
People from all over this plane have simply vanished.
Chris, let me in! Chris!
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
I heard some doctors talking. It's not just here. It's all over the world. One of these days, the
sky's gonna break. Chloe, are you okay?
Yeah, but Mom and Raimi, they're both gone.
Were they taken? One of these days, the
mountains are gonna fall into... Irene knew this was coming. The way it happened. How could she know that?
He took them to protect them from the darkest time in the history of this world.
The God my mother talked about would never do something like this.
We all have a right to know if we're gonna die.
We're gonna die.
No spoilers, no flaps, no elevators, and if I run this thing dry, no reverse thrust. I need some room. I just really need you to know how much I love you, no matter what happens.
Dad?
Looks like the end of the world. One of these days, the sky's gonna break,
and everything will escape. Nick Cage takes on God in the movie Left Behind. It's the first time I've ever seen God as the antagonist. Let's get your thoughts, Carpier. Nay,
I'm a yay. It's Nick Cage in a Rapture movie. Come on,
against God.
He's fighting G-Biz and God.
He's doing the three way with G-Biz and God.
G-Biz.
Have you said yay or nay?
This is gonna be a yay for me. And then we're going to steal the Golden Gate Bridge.
Okay, you win the internet, Kev. Go.
It's an A for me.
What?
What do you mean, what?
It's Nick Cage against God.
And I actually did read the first book, and I'm still saying a nay.
Did you see the first book?
Yeah. I did see the first book.
Okay. Will, you're next. Come on.
No, it's yay, but not on the big screen. I couldn't care less. Like, I'm not going to pay money to watch this.
Nick Cage, man.
Yeah, sure. But come, like, yeah, you watch Joe? Apparently Joe's very good. Old school, you'd like it. It's a good.
Hey, Heavy, we need more Nick Cage. Come on.
But wait. One thing that's cool, what I find hilarious in the trailer is that.
Change your answer.
Guys. It's been 20 years. It's been 20 years since his Academy Award, and they still peddle it out.
Fucking right, man. But that's with anything. I mean, if he was in fucking Joe Dirt, it'd be Academy Award winner David Spade. I mean, why not? All right. Let's get back. Let's get to some feedback. And actually, I need a stinger for our feedback segment. So if you guys want to do like a 2 or 3 second little stinger clip that throws to the feedback, Piper to DJ, I know you're pretty good at those. So we need some kind of like hashtag OSATM or hashtag feedback or whatever, a little 2 second audio clip for that.
How about, that'd be awesome. How about you never go ass to mouth?
Yeah, okay, let's do that. Okay. All right, feedback segment starting off with Toons Brian, who asks, describe your last fart using only a movie title, Carp.
Hold your breath.
That's awesome. Anybody else?
The Equalizer.
How about Deep Impact?
I was going to say Armageddon.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So the mop jockey, at the mop jockey, hashtag OSATM, do you think TV is overtaking movies in storytelling? TV seems to try new things while movies just rehash ideas. I think 100% he's right on money there.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, all the original TV series that have come out, Arrow, Gotham, I mean, that's just for Breaking the comic
Bad?
Book stuff.
Breaking Bad.
Weeds. I mean, and it's true. They're just rehashing sequels and prequels, and they're not taking any chances. It's a good time for TV right now. The small screen.
TV's even doing cool stuff. Like, it's bringing things like Hannibal, which had a chance as a movie, now here. Or Bates Motel, which has no everybody knows from a movie. So they're, like, even incorporating stuff from the movie and expanding on it. It's very cool.
And also, the thing is, like, TV has the time to kind of really build the story. Could you imagine if Breaking Bad was a movie? Like, there'd be no build-up, you know, of the transformation of Walter White. So TV allows us to kind of slowly tell a great story, whereas in a movie, obviously, you don't have the time to do so.
Well,
that's when you realize that that they are really different mediums, and it's really cool that way. Like, a movie will show the most important part of someone's life, while a TV show lets you really explore. It's very cool.
AA Andy Anderson, hashtag OSATM, I agree. Cameron Diaz was my dream girl when she was in The Mask. I went back to look at it.
It's insane.
Fucking hot.
It's insane. Yeah.
This comes from Brian from Toons at oldmovies.net. Somebody's done a study on how much money an R rating costs a movie's bottom line, right? Have they? I haven't seen anything.
I found an article from 2008, and it says there was a study. And it says that 34% of all R-rated drama titles would have performed better with a PG rating and 17% of all comedies.
Wow.
So I don't know if that's – I mean, it was done in 2008. I saw another thing where it was saying there's been far more R-rated movies released, but PG-13 films taken twice the amount of box office. That was for 2012. So I think there's definitely a correlation with an R rating versus something that's not R.
Do you think that, you know, Expendables went that way, Deadpool's going that way? Do you think we're losing our edgy cinema slowly but surely?
Maybe in a way, but I think, like, at least for the Expendables case, it was like, if it started PG-13, I don't think it would have had as much an effect if it was like RR and then 13. But yeah, overall, I think we are losing some of that edginess because everyone obviously box office matters. And at the end of the line, the integrity of the film doesn't matter as much as how much it makes.
Wait, but you say that. But then again, The Equalizer, you said, was very graphic.
It was. I was surprised.
So it worked out then. They could work it in.
In that case, yeah. But I think there are exceptions to the rule. But I think the majority of films now they're going to look to try to put it that PG-13 rating.
The thing is, if Avengers was rated R, it wouldn't do as much box office as it does.
But Avengers is a different category than, say, an Equalizer.
It depends on the content, whether it should be R-rated or PG-13.
That's exactly it.
I mean, look how shit Expendables 3 was with the PG-13 rating, whereas 1 and 2 with the R were freaking spectacular.
They could have possibly actually made a little bit more money with that R rating. Yeah. At Twain VA, hashtag OSATM. I don't recall any foreign films that was as successful and critically praised like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Why is that? He's kind of right. I think it's the highest.
People don't want to read subtitles.
I was going to say that Americans
No, there was Old Boy. Was really
Old
big.
Boy was
it made like
not,
$3.
Not successful.
No, it was not. Okay. What about the
The top five are Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. After
Life
that,
is Beautiful.
Significant drop off. Life is Beautiful. Hero. Instructions Not Included in Pan's Labyrinth. Pan's Labyrinth was visually spectacular, but still only made $37 million.
Oof. Yeah, but Amelie? How about Amelie?
Amelie's 6. Jet Li's Fearless, which was also great. 7. Il Postino, I'd never heard of.
What about the Millennium movies?
Some of those are in there.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
The original version.
That's like 50th or so.
Oh, okay.
Like, The Grandmaster was such a good movie, but it only made
By the way, I disagree, Kurt. I tried watching it. I was bored out of my mind. Yeah. It took a while for it to get there.
Dragon Tattoo.
Well, it won't be called Millennium?
26.
Oh, 26, all right.
So, technically, Porky's would be considered a foreign film, and that made about $100 million.
No, wait, but don't, no, because that's, I think...
It's not critically praised.
No, but wait, is it foreign or is it foreign language? What's the difference?
Well, no, yeah, maybe. Because they have Brotherhood of the Wolf here, and that was English with some French, but it's...
Oh, I remember that movie. You see Monica Bellucci's stuff there.
Fucking, and it's a great movie, too.
No, actually, once again, Carp, I disagree. That movie bored the shit out of me again. The only cool thing was that the American guy knew Kung Fu. That was the only cool thing. Everything else was really boring.
So we just we agreeing that Americans don't like reading subtitles? Is that the problem?
I believe so.
Heavy, do you agree?
I actually had a boss that I let him borrow Inglourious Bastards. And when he gave it back to me, he was like, I like the movie, but having to read those subtitles pissed me off.
Way too much German in there.
See?
That's awesome.
See? I told you.
All right, Piper the DJ tweets us, as of late, superhero movies are hit and miss. What makes a superior superhero movie? I mean, you got to have good directors that get it. Joe Johnson, Captain America, got it. James Gunn, Guardians, got it. J.J. Abrams, I know it's not a superhero movie, he gets the culture. I mean, Marvel just puts the right people in, good script writers, good story, throws money in it. You have to have good actors as well. I think it's just a combination of all of that.
But like, what would make, like, Man of Steel, did you enjoy it as much as the Marvel films, old school?
I did. I think.
Okay. All right.
I think if you treat it, you got to treat it like a serious movie. Even though, you know, it might be a comic book movie, you treat it like a serious movie. You put big name actors in it, obviously budget, but you don't treat it like a video game. You know what I mean?
So like no Batman and Robin.
Exactly.
Yeah, but Guardians striving, wasn't serious at all. Guardians wasn't serious.
No, but not saying that it's serious. I mean, you take the project seriously.
Okay, like the what I'm saying. What's it called? Not the brand or the characters and the world.
You don't make it cartoony and like Guardians had a bit of an edge to it. You know,
it did. You're right.
All the Marvel movies. It seems like. The maturity of the filmmakers, the writers, and the entire industry in regards to comic book movies, it's just kind of like they've grown up symbolically. You know, it's not like RoboCop, you know, or it's not like The Punisher in the 80s or whatever. This is legitimate movies, man. And like, you know, X-Men, you've got Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. I mean, these guys are fucking like they can
they're Shakespearean actors. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, these guys are fucking serious. You know what I mean? You're not getting fucking Dave Coulier, you know, to be fucking. You know
I
what I mean?
Know who that is.
But I think X-Men really started it though. Getting Stewart and McKellen and
not really. I think no. The one who started was Batman with Jack Nicholson as the Joker. That started it in 1989. That was the first. Well, then or you could say like Gene Hackman was Lex Luthor. I don't know. Depends where you start it. What I believe
Gene
is
Jackman was not a good Lex Luthor. I don't care what anybody says.
Okay, what I'm Kevin Spacey was better.
No, not at all.
Anyways,
Jesse Eisenberg, go ahead.
Yeah, Eisenberg with the tats. Yeah, we'll see.
I'm curious to see how he does.
Okay, anyways, guys, what I'm trying to say is that I believe that you have to trust the source material. Okay, and don't make an executive make your film. For example, that Tim Burton trusted. The idea of like having the city be all gothic and it worked, but later on it was more about making it more for the kids and trying to figure out the movie best for your audience instead of just the source material, and it all went to hell. Nolan had an idea. He trusted that it could be even more realistic and it worked. And you have now Guardians. Once again, the comics had a lot of heart, had weird characters, but they say, you know, we'll make it work. If it worked in the comics, it could work here. And they trusted and it worked out too. So I believe it's really getting to know what you're doing and being faithful to that instead of trying to think of what your audience wants. Cause you won't get it that way.
Piper the DJ, what's your stance on canon when it comes to movie history and why is this canon? Is this like a,
what he means is, for example, you know, Terminator.
Yeah.
It's a series, but like the Christian Bale one might have changed something that happened in the past. And he wants to know, do we care if a future sequel will incorporate the past into it. That's what he means by canon.
Okay.
Like, for example, go ahead, Kevo.
The best example would be Star Trek.
Damn it, screw you, Kevo. I was going to say that right now.
Because
I lost.
The thing with Star Trek was it's like so much of it was known that it was kind of hard to do something new with it and keep it canon to the original universe. So they said, okay, we're gonna provide an alternate history so we don't have to follow the canon of it. But then you have purists like me who, with the new universe, I don't find it canon. My canon is the old universe.
No, but wait. But Kev, I was going to use that to say that it works because what J.J. Abrams did and the storytellers did, I believe it's, is it Robert Orci? Yeah. What they did is that they actually made it canon by having a real story with the original Spock into play, like that the world he comes from is the original Star Trek you care about. So that is still canon while having this own new universe to deal with.
I disagree there. Maybe.
No, but I mean, wait. Spock,
I understand the logic of it, and I like Spock, but the new Star Trek to me isn't canon, even if they tried to make it. My Star
but,
Trek
But isn't Leonard Nimoy currently in this alternate universe? He is, right?
He currently
lives there.
Yeah, but I see. I treat these movies as fun action movies. I don't treat them as canon to the Star Trek world.
I see.
I don't give a shit. Let's X-Men. They kind of forgot that a bunch of people died. I found it was entertaining. I'm not that anal about it. I know a lot of people are like, you gotta keep with the timeline. In my opinion, don't care. Anybody else want to comment?
Well, if I can just make one more quick thing, I don't know if you guys heard about with Star Wars where they're kind of gonna disregard the books and all like the content made, like not counting the movies, they're gonna kind of disregard them and say they're not canon. And that's upsetting a lot of the Star Wars fans.
Those guys are so fucking anal.
No, but I can understand their point. You spend all this money reading, learning about these characters, and then you have the movie, the makers of the movie saying, we're going to do it our way, and from that point, it's going to be canon. And all that content that we spent money on, well, yeah, it's there, but it doesn't really count anymore.
But you know what? How many years has this franchise been out? 40 years or something? What's wrong with starting fresh, starting on a blank page and doing something different? Yes, they have invested in the franchise, but how long has it been since they've come up with a new movie? I mean, why not start fresh, do something different with it? I don't see the big problem.
Oh, no, I completely understand. Even for Star Trek, I'll be the first to admit, you know, it was dead and they had to do this, but it's still not my Star Trek, you know?
All right, let's agree to disagree.
Look, if I don't see Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, I'm not going to see the next fucking Star Wars.
I don't think it's going to get to that point.
If they follow loosely the books where it's about Leia's and Han's kids and how they're like super powerful Jedi, I'm in.
Thank you for tweeting, hashtag OSATM. All right, so that's going to end the show. Plugs, final thoughts, start with Heavyset.
Well, obviously, Stable Wars, we're always looking for new men. Oh, no, wrong guy.
Damn it, I was going to promote Kayfabe Sports.
But yeah, www.kayfabesports.com, NFL Easy Picks, working on everything with that, a bunch other new shows. And as I'm obviously trying to follow the trend of everybody, I'm trying to do hashtag NFL Easy Picks.
Yeah, it's fucking working. Like, we get one email from Piper a month or something. Now we actually get 3 or 5 tweets, man. It totally works. You know, people just tweet something quick. And please keep it coming, man. Hashtag OSATM, hashtag OSAstomF. Carp, plugs, final thoughts.
StateWars.com and www.kfabesports.com. We're on NFL Easy Picks. As the Canadian, I am currently fourth place, and I will be winning this mother.
Were you in second? Have you dropped down there?
I was second. I've had two not great weeks, but I'm still way above heavy set.
Yeah, the guy, one of the guys in first place is British.
What the fuck? Hashtag CFL Easy Picks coming soon. All right, Kebo Trek, plugs, final thoughts.
Of course, we'll go with Ella Photography again, and I'm actually going to show how big of a geek I am. If you want to listen to a podcast network based just on Star Trek, you can go to trek.fm.
The other side of the room. And Will has unfortunately dropped off. So Will would probably say comicbooksftw.com. Check out cosplayers. Great articles. Great YouTube videos.
Exactly.
Yeah, there
and
he
John
is.
John Hamcock.
And John Hamcock. All right. So for Heavyset, Will, Kebbo, Trek, and Carp, this is Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
The company who has the rights to Godzilla, King Kong, and Pacific Rim. So please, please, please do a crossover where they all fight each other and stuff. Comes the best American Godzilla movie ever made. Which really isn't saying much.
That's a lot of fish.
Godzilla. Prepare for a movie that was sold as a face-off between Walter White and Godzilla. Yet barely contains any Bryan Cranston, and even less Godzilla. Seriously, there's less than 20 minutes of it. We count it. Get ready for the tease of the summer, bringing you the king of the monsters like you've never seen him before. Obscured by water, hidden in smoke, barely visible through masks, shot from really long distances on television, and shrouded in near constant darkness. Oh, wait, here we go. Aww. In a movie called Godzilla, spend 80% of the runtime with two monsters that no one has ever heard of. This gigantic spider monkey thing, and this moth who is totally not Mothra. Then watch as they fight against all odds to find a safe place to pork. Take that, true love. Instead of watching the title character Kick-Ass spend hours of screen time with Kick-Ass and the rest of his boring family, there's his dad, whose wig is almost as bad as his Japanese. Kick-Ass's wife, an emergency room nurse who reacts to a crisis by abandoning her patients and pawning off her only child on a co-worker. And this guy. He's a professional bomb disposal expert who never defuses any bombs. A magnet for every single giant monster. An a-hole who keeps volunteering for dangerous missions instead of coming home to his wife and kid.
If you don't walk out, you don't come back at all.
Sir, I'll do whatever it takes.
And a hero who spends more time and effort saving this random boy he met on a train than he does trying to save his own family.
I'm going to be at the hospital by sunrise. Now I'm going to get you and Sam out.
Tell them to run, you idiot. In a nod to the series' Japanese roots, ride along with Ken Watanabe, who's only in the movie to dramatically say one name.
Recall. Gojira.
Deliver one cool line.
Let them fight.
And of course, stare. Starring the Olsen triplet, Discount Channing Tatum, Kreisenberg, and real kaiju have curves. Godzilla, the good one.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. News and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Tom Penetafoundis brought it.
Yeah, he outtaken, took in, taken.
This comes from Brian from Tunes at oldmovies.net. Somebody's done a study on how much and how much fuck. Somebody's done a study on how much fuck.
Fight Show Live, the real motherfucking news, and oh, my bad.
At Twain VA, hashtag OSATM. I don't recall any foreign films that wasn't... fuck, I can't read. I don't recall any... What the fuck? Somebody's microwave went off.
That'd be my truck.